Hey guys, welcome back to Crime Canary. Welcome back, guys. I'm your host, Elena. I hope you guys had a really, really great spring break. I know I did. So I know I said I was going to do some kind of informational episode on just when, like, episodes were going to be aired and stuff like that. But we're actually just going to skip right over that and go straight into our second part of our first series on the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. So the first episode, which was 2 weeks ago, was on background on the alleged architect of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, Alphonse Capone. And if you haven't seen that one, go back and watch it. Everything I'm going to say is probably going to make a little bit more sense if you've already seen that episode. So yeah, this episode is actually going to be kind of along the same lines, just not on Al Capone, on his enemy, arch nemesis, whatever you want to call him, George Bugs Moran. So let's talk about crime. So George Clarence Moran, better known as George Bugs Moran, was born in August in 1891 in Minnesota. He's better known as Bugs Moran, as I said, and he was a Chicago Prohibition era gangster. And the Prohibition era was basically the time in which alcohol became illegal to both sell and distribute and take possession of. So that's what he was kind of specializing in, you could say. He sold alcohol to others. Backing up a little bit, he was born Adelard Cunin to Marie Diana and Jules Adelard Cunin in St. Paul, Minnesota. His parents were French and Italian, so his father was from Asselas-Lorraine, and his mother was from Chicoutimi, Quebec in Canada, and Asselas-Lorraine is in Italy. So it's believed that Moran didn't start getting involved in criminal activity until he was maybe 19, maybe younger, but if you think about it, that doesn't seem like quite such a young age compared to other gangsters like Al Capone, who started getting involved in criminal activity when he was only in sixth grade. So that's like, what, 11, 12? And Moran was already 19. He was actually 19 when he ran away from Minnesota to Chicago. He was incarcerated 3 times by the time he turned 21. His longtime friend, childhood friend, and, mentor, soon-to-be mentor, Dean O'Banion, found him and took him under into his gang, who was mostly a bunch of Irish thugs, and they became known as the Northside Gang. Then comes in Johnny Tirrillo and Al Scarface Capone, and they move down to the South Side in Chicago, and they absorb the territory, just a little part of this. They absorbed the territory and pushed out the South Side O'Donnells, who were just another Irish group who nobody really knew of. So now the North Side, which is predominantly Irish, is run by O'Banion and the North Side Gang, and that's their territory. And then the South Side, which is predominantly Italian, they were known as the Italian family, is run by Tirrillo and Capone, and they are known as the South Side Gang. So Tirrillo, who actually doesn't really like violence, decides that he's gonna start putting up like borders and walls and just like outlining whose land is whose for each gang. And at the time, there were 3 that I know of. The North Side Gang, who was Moran and Dean O'Banion. The South Side, who was Capone and Tirrillo. And then one more, who was also in the South Side. They were a group of Sicilian brothers, who controlled a piece of the South Side territory. And they were called the Genas. So they were allies and partners of Capone and Tirrillo, but they wanted to extend their interests into other territories like the North Side. So Capone and Tirrillo had the Genas, liquor and alcohol moved into O'Banion's territory, and they sold it for half as much as what O'Banion sold it for. So he was being way undersold in his own land. So he quickly went to Tirrillo and requested help. And Tirrillo managed to talk the Genas down in interest of peace, but O'Banion was not happy and decided to strike back instead. So he started hijacking the Genas shipments and selling them for himself. So there were 2 reasons that there was the assassination of O'Banion. So the first was between O'Banion and the Genas. So Tirrillo was out somewhere on vacation and left Capone in charge of the operations, which was not an odd thing. This happens before. Tirrillo really, really trusted Capone. and O'Banion came to collect a $30,000 debt from Angelo Jenna, the Jenna family leader. And so Capone explained to O'Banion that Angelo could not, he couldn't pay it, like there was no way, that maybe he could just like leave it so that, you know, everybody's in good, you know, faith, everybody's fine, to keep the peace. But Dean O'Banion was not having it. He wanted his money, and that was it. So he telephoned Jenna and stated that he had better pay him in a week. Otherwise, you know, he was going to go after him. So the next event was setting up Torrio in a police raid. So Banion called Torrio and said he wanted to retire from the business and sell some of his profits to Torrio. And Torrio was stoked. I mean, he was like, cool, so there's going to be no more problems. And he jumped at the idea. He was like, for sure, I'll be there at the warehouse. So they started talking, they shared a few jokes, but then out of nowhere, we have a bunch of cops and police bursting and arrested both of the men for prohibition-related charges. And this is where it gets kind of like, oh, I see where this was going. I see where this was going to go. O'Banion starts to laugh. But Torrio starts to flip out. Torrio knew that this was his second offense and that he would most likely do jail time. But luckily, both men posted jail and got out. So then Torrio found out that O'Banion had known about the raid the entire time, and all of it was a setup. So when Torrio gets back, the Italian family puts a vote on it, and they all vote to kill O'Banion. And they hire three men to do it. Frankie Yale, John Salice, and Albert Anselmi. And Salice and Anselmi are brothers. So, unfortunately for the rest of the Italians, there was one man who decided against to kill O'Banion, and this was Mike Merlot, and he was the leader of the Union Siciliana. So, they hired the three men to first kill Merlot because he was a man of peace. So they get him killed and they track O'Banion to his flower shop and enter. O'Banion, expecting flowers for Merlot's funeral to be picked, wasn't suspicious of the men or their intentions. So Yale outstretches a hand for O'Banion to shake, and O'Banion shakes his hand. Sure enough, Sicilius and Anselmi then draw their pistols and shoot O'Banion to death. All three killers got away, and the Northside members had lost their commander. Capone and Torrio thought O'Banion's death might end their troubles for good. So Moran and the rest of the crew go to O'Banion's lavish funeral, and you would never guess who's there too. Capone and Torrio. So now, with all of this coming out, Moran, common sense, breaks off the alliance, and now he vows to take revenge. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really, really hope you guys enjoyed it. This is only part 2 of 4. There are 2 more episodes of the series to come, so stay tuned. Also, Tuesdays is now the official airing days for episodes, so keep an eye out. I'll see you guys next week.